Welcome to the Revolution Church Sermon of the Week.
When I was Liberty's age, Joseph's age, I suddenly have this incredible feeling of just how amazing God's grace is and how sustaining His love is for us. And I was reflecting just recently on a memory that I have. It's one of my favorite memories. And that's of me when I was about, well, younger than Liberty, probably about 5 years old. And we lived in Parksville at that time. And it was just a small group, Pentecostal church in Parksville. And we were gathered under the river. I don't know if any of you know Parksville, but there's a bridge that goes into Parksville. And under that bridge, there's a sandbar. And this little church just gathered there, baptizing people. And we were singing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus," as people went into the river. Very Pentecostal, if any of you were raised that way. But it really is as good as it gets. And that same feeling when we're down at Bachelor Bay, you know, or at the family camp, baptizing the children, or Katrina and Daniel being baptized, Todd being baptized, and just a little group of people on the bank of a body of water, just praising God. And I really do think that, you know, our life, all its ups and downs, are just kind of anchored by moments like that. And we may be part of a huge church, we may be part of a small church, but regardless of whether it's a large body or a small body, it's always a small body of people that gather together and encourage one another, hold each other in prayer, surround each other in love. And in the midst of that, Jesus is there. You know, Jesus is there. And that's kind of what I wanted to speak about today, is just how amazing it is to have Jesus hold you through the course of your life. And any of us who have the privilege to walk a few years on this planet realize that life isn't always easy. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. But somehow in the midst of that, Jesus drops keys into our hands, bits of revelation that are just exactly what we needed, exactly at the time. And it's just enough for you to say, "Yes, I can do this. So in truth, I'm 42 years old, and I'm still singing that song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And I'm just so blessed by that. I'm blessed to be here with you and to be able to share that decision together, that we have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. When we get saved, Jesus drops into our hands this key. Big, huge golden key. I'm going to talk a bit about this, but on that key is His name, Jesus. And that key is the key that unlocks every other door in the kingdom of heaven. In 1 Peter 1:3, the Bible says, God, gives us everything we need for life and for holy living. Other translations say godliness. So He gives us everything we need for life and for holy living. He gives it through His great power. As we come to know Him better, we learn that He called us to share His own shining greatness and perfect life. This is a translation, the New Life Version translation. So instead of glory, they say His own shining greatness and perfect light. Through His shining greatness and perfect light, He has given us promises. These promises of great worth and no amount of money can buy them. Through these promises, you can have God's own life in you, now that you have gotten away from the sinful things of the world which came from wrong desires of the flesh. So in the scripture, we see that the keys to our future are already in our hands. It says that God gives us everything we need for life, so life, abundant life, and for godly living. So in truth, we don't have to go to a conference. I think conferences are great. We don't need to read a new bestseller, although reading new bestsellers are great. But God, if you ask God, if you go to God and say, "What have you given me?" Because your word says that you have given everything we need for life and for holy living right now. I want to just focus on a scripture as the anchor passage here this morning. So if you do have a Bible, why don't you turn with me there. Actually, I've got it picked up, so I will do that from that. It's Matthew 16:13. So in Matthew 16:13, we see Jesus gathering once again with his disciples, having a conversation. And this is really one of the big conversations he has during the course of the ministry. And Jesus says, it says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.'" So in this passage, we see Peter confesses the greatest truth that any individual can ever confess. He confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior. And Jesus says that this wasn't received from humans, and it can never be received from humans. It was a gift and revelation of God put into Peter's heart, by which he confessed, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." So Jesus then says that all the church will be founded on this revelation, that this parting and revealing is the foundation through which the whole church from this point forward will be established. And the only way that the church will advance or grow or persevere will be through the multiplied advancement of this truth. What truth is that? That Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. That Jesus isn't just a prophet. He's not just a guru. He's not a good guy. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Savior of the world. And this revelation, this one point, cannot be extinguished. It is the point through which the gates of hell cannot prevail. The gates of hell cannot conquer the church who is anchored in this revelation. So every time that we declare Jesus is Lord, every time someone confesses Jesus is Savior, the church advances, it prevails, it perseveres. So we say even here and throughout the world that the church is not programs, it's not rock star preachers, it's not super talented worship leaders, it's not charismatic, cool, funky congregants, although we've got that all. none of it is bad, but it really is built on the single revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you get away from that, if you move and depart from that reality, then the gates of hell can prevail against the church, it can wreak havoc in the church, and it is wreaking havoc in the church. So as the church moves away and pushes Jesus to the peripheral, pushes Jesus off to the side, then the church starts to crumble. And out of this revelation, Jesus continues, and in this context, he gives us this amazing promise. So let's just remember that Peter received a revelation. The revelation was not from man, it was from God. And in that context, Jesus says something. He says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So on the revelation of Jesus as Christ, all the other keys of revelation in the kingdom of heaven are given. Keys of authority, keys that unlock heaven and earth, the keys of heaven. So Jesus is actually giving us an opportunity here to use our imagination a bit, because he's using figurative language. He's using, we know that we don't actually receive keys, physical keys, when we get saved, but we receive spiritual keys. And a key actually does unlock something. Now, I was thinking when I was reading, I was like, well, I wonder, you know, that's a very modern thought, the idea of opening a door with a key. But I wonder if they actually did have keys back in the ancient world. And in fact, keys have been around since Mesopotamia and before that unlocked, what would you call it, like a piece of wood or something that locked doors. And in fact, in Roman times, when this was being written, keys were kind of displayed on your belt as a symbol of wealth, because the more keys you had, the more property you had. And so keys actually were used to unlock property or possessions or treasures. And I'm not going to push that, although that could preach, as they say. But even though I'm taking a bit of liberties in using the key as analogy, it is the truth that God has given us keys, the unlocked doors. And as I was explaining earlier, you know, with our lives and the fact that God has given us everything that we have need of for life and godliness, that as we walk along, he is dropping keys into our hands to unlock the next door of your maturity, of your understanding, of your walk. So let's take an example here. Thinking about our lives, thinking about the distance that we travel. You come to Christ. Your world is completely changed. You know that you are saved and you have peace in your heart. Now, as you're reading the Bible, you see something, it pops out at you. Or maybe you're listening to a sermon, or maybe someone's speaking to you, and suddenly something alights in your heart. That alighting, that revelation, as it's called, is from God. Now, we have received the key, which is Jesus Christ. And that key, when we are saying opens, if you want to say, let's use this metaphor, opens a door in heaven. And in that door, we walk into, and it's the only way we can enter through the door, is through this key, which is Jesus. There's no other key in all of the world or all of human thinking that can unlock the door, which is salvation, which we walk through. And as we walk through that door, which is only Jesus can open, we enter into the kingdom of heaven. And in that kingdom is eternal life. Again, through Jesus is eternal life. So we walk through this door, and just imagine a room opens up. And in that room is eternal life. In that room is joy. In that room is peace. In that room is an experience as a new Christian, as we often see, of just burdens being lifted, of transformational power. And you come in and you experience the beauty and the pleasure of being a child of God. Now, in this room, there are also other doors. And in those doors, those take other keys to open. But you cannot enter that room unless you use Jesus, the key, in order to get in. And in this room are many doors with many keys. And then as you walk along, you as this new Christian, you start reading the word, as I was saying, and something drops into your heart. Jesus speaks to you just like he spoke to you at salvation. He gives you another key. And in that key is the opening of another room of blessing, another room of revelation. Now, I've walked enough now to know that that feeling of being saved can be multiplied over and over again. And I don't know if you've met people, I certainly have been one of those people where they feel like they've just met the Lord again because they've just received such an incredible download of revelation that they feel like, I don't think I was saved before. I think I've just been saved. Even though you were saved, this experience of that revelation that was dropped into your heart and the beauty of it and the impact of your life, you feel like you've just been saved again. And in some ways, that's the way that God works, is that we go from glory to glory, from key to key, and each key unlocks something greater of God and more purposeful of God. And it's a sustaining power that keeps us going over and over again as we travel through life. But what I want to speak to you specifically today in a practical sense is that whatever key God has given you, whatever he has last revealed to you in that aha moment, and I'm not talking necessarily emotion or knowledge, we're always gaining knowledge. So you could listen to me today and gain knowledge, but it doesn't mean that you gained revelation. You can read the Bible and gain knowledge, but it doesn't mean that you've gained revelation. Now, knowledge is good, but revelation is God in the sense that he says, this is what you need for now. You need this right now. And he gives that to us. So wherever you are right now, and you know we're in the kingdom, we have eternal life. Jesus has given us that big golden key, but each one of you is holding right now in your hand a key of revelation that God has recently given to you. Now, all you need to ask is, what was the last thing God spoke to me in that way where I was like, no, this is important. I need to listen to this. That revelation moment where you felt like, I need to act. I need to do something with this. I need to move forward with this. This isn't just me thinking. This is God. What was the last thing that God spoke to you? Now, you don't need to answer that now. But if you have a moment, just think on that. What was the last thing God gave you revelation? Now, I believe that in everything that we desire, in all the things that we are reaching for, all the things that we are persevering in, all the things that God has spoken to our hearts, whether prophetically or in those silent moments on our own or in prayer, all those things are connected to the last thing that God spoke in our life. Now, if you're asking God, saying, Lord, I want to be an evangelist to the nation. I believe that's something to the nations. I believe that's something you've put in my heart. I desire that more than anything. And you keep praying for that, and you keep wondering, when's this going to happen? When is this going to happen? When's the breakout moment going to happen? Well, maybe if I go to a conference where a powerful, anointed evangelist is there, and maybe if he or she prays for me, then the release will come. Then I'm going to become that individual. Well, that's great, and I don't discourage going to conferences or reading books by great men and women of God at all. But more important than that is asking, what was the last thing that God spoke to me? Because in that is the key to our futures. In that is the thing that will spur us on to great things in God, will spur us on to the things that he has promised for our life. So I'll give you an example of myself. When I was praying about what to speak on, I thought I could speak on tongues because I've been given revelation on the power of tongues. But as I was meditating on it, I realized that why I wanted to speak on tongues was more because it was a key I was holding that God just kept bringing me back to. And it, for everything that I've been desiring for my own life and the things that God has spoken over my life, He keeps bringing me back to this key, saying, have you used the key of tongues yet? Have you opened that door yet? Because if you do, that's where your future is. But if you don't, then you're going to keep just kind of exploring the room that you're currently in. And it's not going to expand to that place that I've put in your heart. That. So I realized that my desire to preach on tongues, although it's a great preach and maybe one day I will preach on that, was more because I was a bit frustrated or that God kept bringing me back to this revelation and He was wanting me to start using tongues. And so I thought, well, each one of you is holding a similar key in your hand, something that God's spoken to you that maybe you haven't turned completely yet. Maybe you haven't completely been obedient to it. And if you would turn that key, if you would practice it, if you would make it your study, if you would pray it through, if you would explore it in God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would walk through the door to your destiny, whatever that destiny is. And I don't believe that destiny is always something that we're reaching for, and calling is something that we never arrive to. We are always walking out our calling. We are always walking out our destiny. But there are certain things that God has put in our hearts that maybe we haven't quite realized yet. And we see other individuals out there walking in the kind of power and anointing that we believe that we too should be walking in, and maybe partially walking in. And we look and we say, well, God, why are they doing that? And I'm not experiencing that same level. And we know from Scripture that God says that He has no favoritism with anyone. There's no partiality with God. He doesn't favor one individual over another or give them more because He likes them better than another individual. That's simply not the way that we work. I believe that why certain individuals walk in a greater revelation, a greater understanding, is they just keep turning those keys, and they just keep opening new rooms, and in each room is more blessing, more understanding, more revelation, and through it, really, ultimately, is obedience to just keep moving, keep turning, keep listening, keep acting as God prompts you. As soon as you stop being obedient to the last thing that God revealed to you, then you stalemate. Then you stop, because God knows what you need to move forward. Now, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be something complicated. It may be something very, very simple, like stop cursing at the people in traffic. You might think that's completely irrelevant to your future as a world shaker, but God doesn't see it as irrelevant. He wants you to control your tongue. I'm just using this as an example from another person. Or maybe it's just about spending more time with them. And in that secret place, you're going to find that God just download something that you wouldn't have had had you not set that time aside. Maybe he just wants you to work harder at your job. And you're like, this is a dead-end job. I'm not going anywhere with this. Maybe he just wants you to show that you can serve an unworthy master in the sense. You know? All these things are sometimes small and simple things, but they're going to unlock greater experiences. And every single person, you know, you go to a conference or read a book of someone you really admire, say a Heidi Baker, you know, someone that just seems to have lived her whole life for God. But the backstory, if you read the backstory, there are many, many, many things that she experienced and did. She has a PhD in theology from Oxford. And right now she's ministering with the poorest of the poor in Mozambique. Why, God? Why? Why would she have to go to Oxford to get a PhD? That seems like it's totally unrelated. But God knows. She probably thought she was going furthest away from her destiny when she went to England to get a PhD. But God has something in mind with that. And so we just need to trust. I'm closing here. Can someone tell me the time? I met Nicholas and I met a man when we were in Victoria, one of these kind of rogue prophets, you know, the kind of travel leaders looking for converts. Anyways, he was an interesting man, just the same. One day we invited him over to our house, and he was telling us a story, and it really did impact me. It was a dream that he had had, and in the dream, he was in this intense battleground. More intense than anything he's seen on television or in the news, just incredibly intense. And so he's in this battleground, and he's up. He gets to the front of the battle where the fighting is the most intense, and he sees this man there, and he comes to the man. He says, "How are you surviving here? How can anyone survive in this battleground?" And he turned to him and he just said one word, obedience. And that really has impacted me, that dream. And I think it's linked to the keys as well, is that when we obey God throughout our life, and it is related to our opening story, when we obey Him, when we turn the keys that He has given us to revelation, there is a sustaining, empowering, persevering spirit that He puts in us that brings us right up to the front lines of the battle. And Jesus never said it would necessarily get easier or that it would always be easy. But He did say that He would sustain us, that He would keep us, that He would refresh us, that He would give us the keys so that we can be like that soldier up at the front line saying, "I'm only here because I've been obedient to the one who's given me the message. I've been obedient to my commander in chief the whole way through. That's the only way I'm surviving. That's the only way I'm sustaining, is that from day one when you were in boot camp to the day that you retire, go on to be with the Lord, you've just obeyed. You just continued in turning the keys that He's given you along the way." So again, I ask you, what was the last revelation we received from God? You need to pay more attention to that than anything else. Obedience to the things God reveals positions us for victory in every battle and promises every blessing. At the end of Revelation, which is cool because it's called Revelation, we see Jesus in His glory. And He says in Revelation 1:18, He says, "I am He who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." The only two passages I could find of Jesus talking about the keys was the one when He was speaking to Peter at the beginning that we read, saying, "I'm going to give you the keys to heaven and earth. And with these keys, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." And you have these keys there of authority that you just speak the word and I'm with you. And then at the end, Jesus speaks of keys again, and this time it's the final final chapter. And he says, I have the keys of Hades and of death. And again, as we're walking on to our eventual end, we know that Jesus in that moment is going to give us those keys. So we need not fear death, because he's overcome them. He holds them in his hands. We need not fear hell, because he holds them in his hands. And we will pass on to be with Jesus forevermore by walking through that last door. We have the knowledge now that we are saved from hell, and we have the knowledge that we are saved from death. But one day we will walk through that in Revelation. We will walk through that. So just in finishing up here, just want to encourage all of us this morning that Jesus has put everything in your hand that you need in order to persevere. And when you use that key, when you obey what he reveals, you will not be overcome. You will grow in maturity, like I know we all desire to. You will grow in authority, and you will grow in love. And many other things, many other blessings you will grow in. Let's not depart. We know we won't depart from Jesus. And continue to obey him in all that he reveals to you. There's a prayer in Ephesians I just wanted to pray over us. Whoa, I've got so many things in my Bible that are going to fall out here. Let me just get there. Well, including pages. Each one of you have heard this before, but I just want to pray this over you. Ephesians 1, verse 15, it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we trust you as we continue to travel together as a group and as individuals with you, linked arm in arm with you, Lord Jesus. That the things you give us, the things, the keys that you have us are good, and therefore our blessing, Lord, that you have your desires to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope in the future. And Lord, we thank you for your sustaining power. We thank you that we are here, many of us having traveled a great distance already. Lord, that you continue to sustain us. You continue to nurture us. You continue to release us into more. And we just put our trust completely in you. That when we say in our heart of hearts, not knowing what the future will hold, that we will choose to obey you. We will choose to do what you say and what you ask, knowing that it is only for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name.